So you'd like me to say thank you to the team that led us there in worship. What a tremendous event, and what a blessing it is. Christmas Day has come. I've been looking forward to it. I don't know about all of you, but it's like a great adventure. And you know what? I have a confession to make to all the very mature feeling people these days. There's something I need to confess, that even although I'm getting pretty old these days, I still have that feeling of excitement when Christmas Day comes, as if something's going to happen, but you don't quite know what that something is. Do you get that feeling as well? I think it's wonderful, isn't it? And I've already been surprised this morning by a couple of things. I just feel very sorry for the Zachariasen family having to wait until this evening to give your presents to each other. Oh my goodness. You know, I think that the wise men that went on search for Jesus must have had that kind of feeling of excitement as they set about their journey, going to look for something, for someone that they didn't quite know who or didn't quite know where. Won't you listen to that story with me, or that incident with me in Matthew chapter 2, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2. Just listen to this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." And we could add the word the prophet Micah. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and of myrrh. Do you get the picture? Do you get the vibe of the story? They were looking for this new king. But who he was and where he was, they weren't quite sure. And so they went to King Herod to get some help. And King Herod didn't know. And so he asked his wise men, the priests and the scribes, and surely of all people, they should have known about Jesus' birth and Jesus' coming. And sure enough, they turned to the Bible, to the book, the prophecy of Micah, and in chapter 5. And this is what they told Herod, who then relayed the message to the wise men. "A ruler is born in Bethlehem who will shepherd his people Israel." But, and this is the point of the message this morning, they failed to give the whole picture. Let me read to you Micah chapter 2, just so that you can get the true picture of what Micah actually read. And do try as I read through this to notice the differences in what they quoted and what Micah actually said. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel." It's okay till there. But listen to this. "Whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." Verse 4. He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Did you notice as I read through those two passages what the wise men told them from Micah and what Micah actually said? There were three things that the wise men weren't told about the Lord Jesus. And I'd like us to have a look at those today because I think they are very, very relevant things for us in this particular century, in this particular time when we are living here in South Africa. The first thing that they weren't told about the Lord Jesus was that he's God. Did you notice those words there that Micah actually used? That he whose origin is from of old, from the ancient of days. I think the wise men perhaps, and maybe it's an argument of silence, they were actually looking for an earthly king. They'd seen this and maybe they'd read in their own writings, or maybe they had a copy of the book of Micah, we're not too sure. But they knew that this star that they'd seen was something extremely significant. And they wanted to find this baby. Probably an earthly king they were looking for at that stage. They wanted to come and they wanted to pay him tribute. In their guidance that they received from Herod was actually down that line. Because he didn't mention anything about this baby being God himself, whose origin was the Ancient of Days. And so Micah was actually misquoted. Bethlehem, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel, whose origin is from old and ancient of days. Now, those words actually could mean two things. Probably mean both, because the Lord Jesus did descend from a Davidic line, from David's line. And you can trace from King David right through, in fact, earlier back than King David even, right through to the line of the Lord Jesus. But in Jewish terminology, this also clearly pointed to something even beyond that, an origin beyond that, a divine origin, a time before any human line had started, of old, of the Ancient of Days. And so for any Jewish person, and probably for those wise men who read that book, the scribes and the Pharisees, they saw that expression, but it's conveniently been left out of their relay to the wise men. As they followed the star, I wonder if they realized, maybe progressively they did. Maybe there was a welling up of faith in them. Maybe they had a copy of Micah's book and opened it and read it and saw exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ was. But perhaps they didn't realize that the one before whom they were bowing was actually the Son of God, that they were actually witnessing the greatest miracle ever in the history of the world, God become flesh. But there was something else they were told. I don't know if you noticed it there. They weren't told either that he would have a global influence. Herod's consultants somehow also left that part out of Micah chapter 5, that he would be great to the ends of the earth. And so, as they knelt there and worshipped before that little baby, they were really worshipping the King of all kings. Not just the King of Israel, but the King over all kings and the Lord over all lords. This little baby was to become the Savior of the world. This little baby would come and exert a huge influence over the whole globe. Think this morning briefly with me some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ, the impact that the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers have had upon our globe. G.K. Chesterton put it this way. I love this expression, that the coming of Jesus was an incredible interruption in history, a blow that indeed broke the back of human history. And we know that the Jesus Christ's birth actually divided history into two. And even if you're secular, and even if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you use the terminology BC, and those of us who study history have to refer to the years before Christ and the years after the Lord Jesus Christ, the years AD. And so Jesus coming split history in two. But think also of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning briefly with me and some of the huge, huge impacts that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has had upon our world. Think of William Wilberforce, John Newton, and David Livingstone and the impact that they had upon abolishing slavery and establishing at least a measure of a system of human rights that would treat slaves and people from our own beloved continent as equal human beings. Think today, too, of the influence that Christianity is having on the continent of India. I don't know if you're aware that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is at the moment having a major impact on changing legislation in India with regard to the untouchables or the Dalit freedom, as they call it. I've been to India, and that system, the caste system in India, still has a huge, huge impact, a negative impact upon humanity there in the land of India. And where is resistance coming from? It's from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as they conscientize Indian society in these days. The Bible teaches us that this impact is going to increase. And I love those words that Habakkuk speaks in the second chapter in verse 14 when he describes the coming or the impact of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world in these terms. The earth is going to be filled with the glory of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And think of the commentary or the comment that Paul made in Philippians when he was describing that day at the end of all time. And he said these words, God has highly exalted Jesus Christ and given him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the wise men weren't told that. They weren't told that this little baby was Jesus, and nor were they told that this little baby would have a global impact. But there's a third thing that they weren't told either. And that is that phrase, that wonderful phrase there in verse 4 and 5 of Micah. They weren't told that he would be our peace. They weren't told that he would be the peace of all the world. What deeply meaningful words. Let me read them to you again. He shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. The peace of the ends of the earth. The peace of the whole world. Now, I think we all long for world peace, don't we? Watching a movie the other day where they kept saying that that's the thing we're really looking for is world peace. And if you interview people on the TV about Christmas time, they want world peace. And we want it to be a time of goodwill and charity towards all peoples. In fact, Micah, and we're actually doing a study of the book of Micah through our Sunday morning worships. And when I get the chance to preach, Mike actually predicts that there would be a time when there would be peace. Remember last week we looked at it, that the world's peoples would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation not rising up against nation, not lifting up sword. Neither shall they learn any war anymore. Jesus is the peace giver. I think of the history of our own land. Do you remember that amazing occasion a couple of years ago, around about the time of majority rule here in South Africa, when the CODESA talks were about to break down? Do you remember that? And Gacha Buthelezi actually walked out of the talks and went to the airport to catch a plane. And I believe that there was a Christian Kenyan man. It was the Kenyan Christian man who was about to catch a plane, and that airplane turned around at the end of the runway and came back because of technical problems. That influential Christian man went and spoke to Buthelezi and encouraged him to go back into the talks. And so the whole thing was turned around. The influence of God's people in world peace. How much we can thank God for that. Many of us were praying at that time. I remember Roz and I were living in with our family in Namibia at that time, and we were praying for a peaceful transition to independent rule here in South Africa, or democratic rule here in South Africa in those days. Jesus, the peace giver. But this passage speaks so much deeper than that. We know that world peace is probably never going to be achieved. Probably not. It's something, it's an ideal that we hold up, and it's something we long for, and it's something we pray for. But what this passage was really speaking about is a much deeper peace. A peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's speaking here, foreshadowing the reconciling work that the Lord Jesus Christ would achieve between man and God, between God and man. You see, God was deeply offended and angered by the sin of the world. And we desperately, as humankind, need to be reconciled to Him. The Bible uses a huge word, propitiation. And that word is a very precious word to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's a word that says God's wrath was turned away by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can have peace with God through my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, speaking about that reconciling work. It said, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise. In other words, all good that would come from God's hand, we were strangers to it, totally cut off from it because of our sin. Having no hope and without God in the world. That describes our state without the Lord Jesus Christ coming to be our peacemaker. But now in Christ Jesus, it goes on to say, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He, listen to these words, He Himself is our peace with God, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And of course we know that as we have peace with God, as we find our peace with God and stand as sinners at the foot of the cross, then we find ourselves on level ground with everyone else, because that's a common human problem. So I can't say I'm better than anyone else when I stand before the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I stand before this peacemaker of all time, this God child who came into the world. Then I'm equal, and then I can start talking about crushing my pride and being equal with those around about me in the world. And so there's this double reconciling work which the Lord Jesus Christ does. Peace with God and peace with one another. He is our peace. So what? So what? What does this all mean to us today? What is the relevance of all this for us today? Well, you know, as I reflected upon it, and I think you'll agree with me, that these three things which the chief priests and scribes forgot to tell the wise men are the very things that our world is forgetting to say today about Christmas. These three things are actually the most important things about the Lord Jesus Christ. That He's God. That He has a global influence. And that He's our peacemaker in the world, our peacemaker between ourselves and God. The very things that most people are actually missing at Christmas today. I was listening to Top Billing. Yes, I listened to Top Billing the other day. And I think it's a great program in some ways. But you have to kind of be careful. Listen to this quote. One of the announcers there on Top Billing said these words. When you strip away all the tinsel of Christmas, at the heart, you will find the family. Now, that's true because we all enjoy family times at Christmas. But it's not true. It's not really true. Because there's something else actually at the heart of Christmas. There's these very truths that Micah mentioned, that the wise men weren't told about the Lord Jesus Christ that are really at the heart and the center of Christmas. The baby Jesus is an icon which is used in Christmas marketing, in decoration, and in our music. It's actually lovely going into the supermarkets and hearing the carols, truths about the Lord Jesus Christ being sung in our supermarkets. And the angels and the wise men and the shepherds are also used in marketing and music and different programs that we have at Christmas time. But mostly, the real nature of Christ's coming is not understood or spoken about in our world. The fact that He's God, the fact that He's King over all the earth, and the fact that He came to be our peace, the one to make peace between God and man. And so I want to put it to you today, because this is such a neglected theme in our world today, and I think on reflection, you must admit that probably in the church and amongst Christians, that's the only time you hear this message. And I wonder why those chief priests and scribes actually left that out of the message that they gave to the wise men. Maybe they didn't actually want the Messiah. Maybe they didn't have the spiritual insight to see it. But I believe that these are actually the very things we should be talking about and rejoicing in here today. The very things that we should be talking to our children about. Maybe that's why the Zachariasans don't have presents till the evening of Christmas. Is that right, Kev? Or is there no reason? I think it's a good idea so that we can actually get the real stuff done first, maybe. Or at least give ourselves time to actually speak about the real things. Did you talk about the real things in your home today? Did you perhaps pray about the real things about Christmas in your home? The family gatherings that we love to have, and I don't decry them, because we're going to be with friends and family today as well. But do we talk to the Lord and thank Him for these great, great truths about the Lord Jesus Christ? To our friends. And as we close, I want to go a step further. Yes, we are missing it mostly in society today. And I'd encourage us to be talking about it and emphasizing these things as we gather together today. But one last thought, and I really want to press this truth about the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way this morning, to make a personal challenge to each one of us. Are you perhaps living your life without a full understanding and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ? That He's God. And that He can be your peace. Yes, Jesus is sometimes even mentioned a lot. But are you going through life beyond Christmas without a full understanding and without and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ? Perhaps just enough of Jesus to be respectable. Just enough to kind of get you through in the eyes of the people around you. Perhaps in the eyes of your family, or perhaps in the eyes of somebody whose friendship you value very much. Yeah, I'll go and do the church thing and I'll just have enough of the acceptance of Jesus. But the real stuff, brothers and sisters, is totally missing from your life. You don't acknowledge Him as God. You don't acknowledge Him as the King of Kings. You don't acknowledge Him as the Lord, really the Lord and the King of your own life. Just missing from life the most important part of who He is and what He came to do. Have you made your peace with God? May I ask you that question directly? Have you come to this little Savior, or the large Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and received from Him that mediating work between God and yourself? You know, there's no other way to do it. There's no other way to heaven. Could I say it so sharply this morning? There is no other way to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. He only can bridge that huge gap between us as sinners and the Savior of the world. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? May I ask you that question? Yeah, I know about Jesus and I do the church thing, but do you really know Him in a personal way? Do you know Him as your Lord and as your King? Have you bowed the knee and acknowledged Him as God and Lord of your life? Let's pray as we come to the end of our service this morning. Lord Jesus, we do just pray that You would please speak to us as Your people in these days. Thank You for the tremendous message that Micah wrote, giving us these insights into who You really were, the Son of God, God Himself, to have global influence, global impact, great to the ends of the earth. Oh Lord, that You could be our peace. I just pray very earnestly this morning that there wouldn't be a single person leaving this service who would not be able to put their lives right with You. Oh Lord, won't You just speak to us, I pray. Speak to us as Your people in these days. And Lord, as we consider again these great truths, what a wonderful message. What a wonderful truth it is that You came to be our Savior and our Lord, putting us right with God. Lord, as we close our service now, we pray that the joy of all of this and the wonder and the grandeur of it all will just be expressed again through our singing and through our prayer, even as we close this service. And as we go to our homes, Lord Jesus, bless Your people and bless each one present here today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.